Praise God. You may be seated. Last week, we spoke out of five Greek words that we have been using to study on the series on understanding the mind. And we combined them into three different groupings and into one section under news, which talk about the main conscious part of our mind. And then we talk about the second part, which is the dianoia and the anoia, which is found in Ephesians 1 and Hebrews chapter 4, the anoia, intents of the heart, which we speak about in the realm of visions and in the visual realm of our mind. And we did not have time last week to talk about the third part, which is the phronema, which seems to dwell in a deeper place in our consciousness. Now, most of the time, if we are aware of the educational system that we have focused on, we all are aware that there is a conscious mind that we have and a subconscious mind. A conscious mind and a subconscious mind. But there is more to the mind than we realize. There's a deeper part of us within us that is deeper even than our rationalization and deeper than our normal visualization. Something deep within us that seems to be influencing a lot of our daily thinking and decisions. The deeper level we go, the more it influences without us realizing. According to most scientists today, we use about possibly only about 5% of the capacity of our mind today. So imagine the large part that is unused. And we also realize that the word mind is not necessarily brain. Because when a person is clinically dead, as we mentioned earlier in the series, that people who have what you call clinical death and out-of-body experience, OBE, continue to remember what they saw while their brain is dead. And when they came back, they could recall everything. So mind is beyond our brain. It's a deep part within us. Now let's read one scripture and we will go into the third part on phronema and consider it carefully. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12. It says, therefore the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, most Christians know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that we are spirits with souls and we live in our body. In other words, we are spirit, soul and body. Most Christians know that. I mean, it is in the Bible. We have what we call a tripartite nature. Tripartite nature. Spirit, soul and body. In normal philosophy, the modern Western philosophy, which is largely influenced by the Greeks, they look at what I call dichotomous view of man. They see man as soul and body. Of course, modern communism and humanism tends to view of man as just a single creature, biological creature. That's all. So it's getting worse. And if you are into philosophy, you notice that the philosophies of the Greek change from Plato to Aristotle. In the early days of Plato, and during the under Plato's influence, the Greeks tend to look at man from a tripartite view. They attribute a spiritual nature to man. But through time, in Aristotle's time, they begin to change and see it as a dichotomous view, a two-part being of man, just soul and body. By our modern era, with the development of humanism and communism, and most modern science today that is out of touch with God, we see man only as biological creatures. It's getting worse, right? From three natures to two, now to one. But the Bible is and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says we have spirit, soul, and body. So I accept what the Bible says and look at the three parts of our nature. In understanding the mind, here's the interesting thing. We read the scripture in Hebrews 4, verse 12. There is a separation between the soul and the body. Now, when you have spirit, soul, and body, your next question, if you probably did want to ask, but never get to ask, or never even thought of the question, if you have spirit, soul, and body, where is the joining? Have you ever thought of where's the joining? There must be a join somewhere. Of course, the join will have to be somewhere invisible, but there has to be a join. Three things are joined together and unified. There has to be some place where the join is there. And just in case you're interested, within each one of us, there's a left brain and a right brain. Your right brain, processes a lot of things that are visual. Your left brain processes a lot of things that are rational. Like, for example, when you are doing mathematics, 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 is 4, 3 plus 3 is 6, 1,000 plus 1,000 is 2,000, you're using your left brain. When you're doing music or artwork and you're trying to conceive something, you're using your right brain. Both our brains are joined. A crossover in the middle. And so your right hand is controlled by your left. Your left hand is controlled by your right. They are joined somewhere on the inside. The crossover point. There's a big, for lack of better words, a big lump on the inside that joins the two brains together. It's a processing center. In medical science, when some people have epilepsy, or things that put them into fits, they have tried to cure them by various things. Not really cure, actually, they just sustain them. They don't really cure them. In some medical procedures, they cut the brain into two sections, so they are no more joined. So your left brain functions independently from your right brain. They sort of sever the joint. And they found that interesting when they began to separate and experiment with those people. Sometimes they could see an object, but they cannot define an object. So when they feel an object with their right hand, and if they can't see it, they could not. They sort of know what it is, but they could not use the right words to describe it. It's a funny phenomenon. But I bring that as an illustration to show that there's a joint. And the scientists have begun to find out the joint is very important, where it's processed together. If we are spirit, soul, and body, where is the joint? Interesting question. Where's the part that joins our spirit to the soul? That we leave for another topic. But for today, looking at understanding the mind, there is a connection between the soul and the body. And that connection in Hebrews 4 verse 12, it says, can be pierced and can be divided so you know which is which. Because if you don't know which is which, you cannot use either one appropriately. When things are all muddled up. I mean, like most of us, when you eat your food, it's well presented. you have your steak with your broccoli or your asparagus sauce and the tissues at the side if you're salivating at the moment. And then you have your nice sauce on it and presented. Some of you would sprinkle your pepper, salt, and what else? Carrots on it. And with a lump of potato, roast nicely, and then you eat it nicely and very delicately with your fork and knife. It goes into your stomach, it all got mashed up. Now, why don't we take the same thing, put it in a blender, grind it all together, and give it to you? It's the same food, right? They're same atoms, molecules, same protein, same vitamins. Why not we just throw everything in, blend it, and then say, here's your lunch. So every Sunday, when you come, you won't have all those presentations nicely. You will have a big blending machine, and all of you will be given one cup. So it's like in space, you know. And then when you need your lunch, you just go and turn on that funny looking blender, and out comes this gooey stuff. And then you eat this gooey stuff like baby food. Wouldn't that be enjoyable? And some of you may like it, but we realize that it doesn't seem appetizing because we separate them. And each has a different taste and we enjoy each piece. We don't just blend them all together. Although in your stomach, well, it's all blended together. Why do we separate them so that each piece can function on its own? In the same way, when you open up a computer, you open up any machine, each part must function separately. They are joined, but they need to function separately in order to be producing what they need to produce. Spirit, soul, and body needs. You need to identify which part of your being is your soul, which part is your physical body, and how they're related. Now, the interesting thing is that in Hebrews 4 verse 12, it seems to identify the part of our soul that is linked to the influencing of the spirit and the body. Looking at verse 12. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So all these three parts seem to flow together. We know that joints and marrow is different parts of our being. Incidentally, the marrow is found within our bones. And it is one of the places, it's not the only place, but the marrow in our bones is one of those places where red blood cells are formed. And blood, the Bible says, is the essence of your biological life. As far as the Bible is concerned, blood is life. And so it's pointing to the very source. For lack of better words in those days, they didn't use the word DNA, but that's where the source of all your biology is produced, just from those strands of DNA. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, thoughts and intents are used here, part of our mind. Strangely, when they use the word thoughts and intents, there are two Greek words that are used. One is the Greek word entumesis, which is the word translated thoughts, E-N-T-H-U-M-E-S-I-S, if you're writing notes. And the word intense, which is the word ennoia, E-N-N-O-I-A, Romanized, ennoia. The word ennoia is related to the word dianoia, so we know it's a visual part. That is why when we look at the five Greek words and group them into three, we say one section refers to your conscious mind where you fight with doubts and you win. The other section is the visual part of your mind.